Mr. Will, welcome to Only a Game.
Glad to be with you.
You write that you've produced this book, quote, in the 106th year of the Cubs' rebuilding effort. Is that what makes the Cubs the Cubs? They provide the best punchlines in baseball?
Well, I don't know what makes the Cubs the Cubs. They used to be called lovable losers, but I think then people held that little label up to the light and said, what's lovable about putting mediocrity in front of customers for nearly a century? The Cubs have had their ups and downs. The trouble is that the Cubs were the Yankees. The Cubs dominated baseball right before they got to Wrigley Field. It's when they got to Wrigley Field that things began to go badly. They've been to the World Series a few times, but not since 1945 when I was 4 years old, 3 years before I decided to become a Cub fan, and a decision I probably shouldn't have made at that tender an age.
There is, of course, a lot of Cubs history in your book. Did you grind your teeth while you were doing the research, or were you able to laugh?
Well, the worst of the Cubs history is in my lifetime. But to watch the evolution of a franchise and to watch the evolution really of baseball from a small, decentralized semi-industry into something now that's an $8 billion industry was part of the fun of watching the Cubs as a repeatedly failed business model. One of the themes of my book is that Wrigley Field, although a gem and a large part of the attraction of the team, is also part of the problem. When William Wrigley, after whom the field is named, died and his son, P.K. Wrigley, inherited it, that was much to his dismay. He really didn't like baseball and didn't care that much to be an owner of the Cubs. So he said, you know, we're really not very good, but we have this terrific venue where the ivy is lush and the grass is green and the sun is warm and the beer is cold, and therefore we're trying to get people who aren't all that interested in baseball. He certainly had the right target audience.
Wrigley Field is turning 100 this season, but it is about to undergo a $300 million renovation. As a Cubs fan, do you welcome the most recent changes at Wrigley?
Well, as a Cub fan and a conservative, I'm against all change at any time. But yes, I've reconciled to this, partly because the ballpark has to make money and the Cubs have to have more money if they're going to be competitive in this astonishing era of baseball revenues.
You warn early in the book, and I'm quoting here, baseball fans are given to gushing, and gushing is never worse than when Cubs fans get going about Wrigley Field. What sort of gushing especially annoys you?
Well, it seems to me baseball is always being tarted up as a metaphor for this, as an emblematic of that. No, it's a game. It's a profession. It's a craft. It's beautiful. We don't need to encrust it with sentiment. In Wrigley Field, people, oh, what a cathedral. It's not a cathedral. It's a place to play a game, professional athletes. But it's really well suited to that. Wrigley Field is beautiful because it so perfectly serves to display this wonderfully observable team game, to be enjoyed by people who take the trouble to go out to the ballpark. It staggers people to be told that the third oldest ballpark and the second oldest in the National League is Dodger Stadium, which is, I think, 53 years old this year. Wrigley Field is older than, I'm talking to you from Midtown Manhattan, near the Empire State Building and the Chrysler Building, the two iconic skyscrapers of New York. Wrigley Field's older than the Lincoln and Jefferson Memorials, older than the Supreme Court Building. It's older than the Golden Gate Bridge, Mount Rushmore, Hoover Dam. In this young country, 100 years old is old.
Before the Red Sox won the World Series in 2004, a friend of mine said that he hoped they would never win because if they did, they would just be another team that had won the World Series. And so many teams can say that. They would no longer be special. What would the Cubs become if they were to win the World Series?
Lovely. Special. Who wants to be special for never winning? They say losing's good for your character. I've got quite enough character, thank you. I want to be spoiled by victory. I haven't seen any Red Sox fans jumping off the bandwagon since they started to win.
Finally, Mr. Will, I know that you are somewhat given to prognostication in various areas. You want to give us an idea of how you think the Cubs are going to do this year?
When it comes to prophecy, I subscribe to the Zeke Benora principle. He was a first baseman of spectacular immobility, but he understood the first rule of baseball is that you will not be charged with an error if you do not touch the ball. I, however, will touch this. There are five rungs in the ladder of the National League Central, and I suspect the Cubs will finish fifth as they did last year and the year before. But the rebuilding effort proceeds apace. The Cubs at last have serious management, which they haven't had since, I guess, William Wrigley died many, many, many decades ago. So things are looking up.
George Will is the author of A Nice Little Place on the North Side. I'm told he writes about matters other than baseball as well. Mr. Will, thank you very much for speaking with me.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.